Okay, let's go ahead and jump right in here. We're studying the book of Philippians, as you know, and I guess it's no surprise to any of you joining us here tonight that we just barely gotten out of verse number one. We still might need to touch on a few things there. The thing is, it's this Bible, it's a loaded book. It's just absolutely filled with truth that blesses our hearts, changes our lives, guides our footsteps, leads us in the way that we ought to go into those paths of righteousness for Jesus' namesake. So what is it that we've looked at so far? We've seen that this book that we're studying, the book of Philippians, it centers around the idea of joy and rejoicing, and that this book has to do with liberty and freedom that is ours in Jesus Christ. The key words in the book being the mind and the gospel. Mind and gospel. We've seen from chapter 1 that the believer 3 times is told that he and she might be confident in God because of the great promises of God. And then we were considering in our last study the remarkable truth that the man that the Holy Spirit used to write this book about joy and rejoicing was writing from a prison cell, and he considered it better to be a servant of Jesus Christ in a prison house than to be free from Jesus and from prison and be bound in sin. That's pretty remarkable there. Now the scripture says that the Apostle Paul was pressing toward the mark. We are admonished in Philippians to press toward the mark. And what kept this man joyful in all of his trials and troubles and circumstances, and what will keep you and keep me joyful in all of our trials, troubles, and circumstances, is pressing toward that mark, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And Hebrews 12 says it this way in verse number 2, Hebrews 12, 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Think about that. Jesus, he's hanging there on a cross, dying. And right in front of his face was something that brought him joy. How could he find joy in the cross that he was being crucified on? Well, because he wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking about what he was going to provide for me and for you as a result of that crucifixion. And that's what Philippians is all about. So let's look at a few places here. Look, first of all, look in chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2. And this servant idea, and this joyful servant idea is seen again here. Verse number 1, Philippians 2, 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So there you see, we're talking about a mindset. Okay, the type of mind that should be in us. My entire life from birth as a natural man in a body of flesh, my mindset from birth was, what's in it for me? And I'll like you as long as you like me. And I'm good to you as long as you're good to me. And I'll treat you right as long as you treat me right. I'll be nice to you as long as you're nice to me. See, that's how most people think. We don't even have to be taught to think that way. That just comes naturally. A man, he says, I'll be good to my wife if she treats me the way I want to be treated. A child says, I'll be good to my mom and dad if they treat me the way that I want to be treated. I'll keep going to church as long as everything there goes my way. That's how we thought for our whole life. And then God said, I want to give you a thinking transplant. I want to take your way of thinking and put in Jesus' way of thinking. He put you first, and that's why you love him. That's really something. And so when we come to Philippians 1, and the Apostle Paul is writing, the Holy Spirit directing his writing to the saints first, remember, and then the bishops and the deacons. Well, no true bishop, no right-hearted deacon is offended in the least that the saints as a whole are placed ahead of those who have the oversight of the church, because the overseer he's taken the servant's place, and they're not in it for self, but they're doing what they're doing for others. And that, brothers and sisters, that is biblical Christianity, and we sure do need more of that. Okay, verse number 2, grace, in chapter 1, verse number 2, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll be honest with you, I'm not as close to the mark as Paul was. If I was in jail eating the food that those prisoners were given in a Roman jail in 50 AD, I'd probably be writing and saying, would you all pray that I can have some grace and have some peace? Can I have some? I mean, I doubt that I'd have enough for me and then still have enough left over to send it to you in a letter. I'd be saying, please, please pray for me. I'm really having a bad time here in this jail. I need your prayers. I'm sure that's the way I'd be. You say, well, how do you know? Well, because if I get just a little bit sick, get to feeling kind of bad, you know, in the flesh, that seems to be the attitude that I notice that sets in right away with me. I tell you that. I'm just saying that finish line there, it's a long way off for me. How about you? But Paul, he's sitting in that jail. He's got enough grace to send them the extra. He's got enough peace to send them the leftovers. That's pretty good. That's pretty impressive to me. The Bible says in verse 2, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's where it all comes from. Verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Now, look at those words carefully that he used to describe his brothers and sisters. First, notice in verse 1, they are in Christ Jesus. Okay, they are, yes, they're at Philippi. That's where they're located now. But just, I want you to know that just because they lived in Philippi and because they went to church in Philippi, that's not what made them saints. Okay, that didn't make them children of God. It's this being in Christ that made them all that they were. And so when Paul writes to them, he thanks God for them in verse 3. He has joy when praying for them in verse 4. He considers it a blessing to be in fellowship with them in verse 5. Man, you want to be in the best church on earth? Get in one where people are not trying to straighten out their brethren, but where they're thankful that they have those brethren. Get in a church where people are not telling one another nasty things about one another, but where people go to the Lord in prayer and they're rejoicing and they're joyful as they pray for others. That's the kind of church we all want to be part of. I hope, I pray, that's what I want. Now, if you're part of that gossip crowd, that backbiting crowd, the tail-bearing crowd, that self-righteous Pharisee crowd, you probably don't want to be in a church like that. But I do. I do. And then in verse number 5, notice it is a fellowship in the gospel. Do you know why churches go 10 different directions and why people sit under the same roof and they don't enjoy one another's company? Because some are fellowshipping around the type of schooling, and some are fellowshipping around a certain type of activity, and some are fellowshipping around the adult Sunday school teacher, and some are fellowshipping around a certain deacon with a cause, and some are fellowshipping around the pastor, some are fellowshipping around this, some around that. Well, if you got under a roof where everybody there was there for a different reason, you would be, yeah, you'd be congregated together, but you would not necessarily be fellowshipping together, okay? But if you got under a roof where everybody there wanted to further the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and was glad to do whatever they could do to that end and was glad to help everyone else do whatever everyone else could do to that end, that would be Christian fellowship. That's true Christian fellowship. Are you thankful for your brethren? Are you thankful for your sisters in Christ? Now wait a minute. Wait a minute. He wrote a thank you card. The Holy Spirit is using Paul to write a thank you card to the Christians at Philippi. And it said, I just want to thank you for being my brother. I just want to thank you for being my sister. I'm glad we're both in Christ. You know, you think about it, we really take it for granted. But what a blessing, what a joy to be able to fellowship with people that believe the same Bible you believe, serving the same Jesus that you serve, singing praise to the same God you praise. What a blessing. Do you see what he's saying in verse 3? He's not saying I'm thankful that you did such and such for me. He's not saying I'm thankful that you did that for me. He says I'm thankful for you. For you. There's all kinds of self-centered thank yous, you know, thank you for making that for me, thank you for giving that to me, thank you for stopping that because you knew it offended me. You know, Paul, he's way beyond all that stuff. You know, he's saying with all your faults, with all of your flaws, with all of your hang-ups and stuff that you still got left that you're working on, thank you for just being part of the body of Christ. That's really good. I like that. How's your heart, brother, sister? How is your relationship with the people that you attend church with or should be attending church with? All right, let's read some more. Verse 4, Philippians 1:4, always in every prayer of mine for you all. Notice he didn't leave anybody out of his prayer time. He didn't pray for some and not for others. He didn't pray for the ones that he liked and then not pray for the ones he didn't like. He prayed for them all, making requests with joy, he said. There's that joy again. He's joyful. I don't know how, but he's joyful. I mean, just compare his prayers to most prayers. He said in every prayer he prayed, that he prayed for them, for them. Not about them, for them, not at them, you've heard that, for them, and he's not praying because of them. Aren't a good percentage of our prayers for us? Don't we spend a lot of time praying for ourselves? God, I need this. God, I want that. God, help me with this. God, give me that. God, straighten him out because he's annoying me, Aren't a lot of our prayers for us? Here, this Bible writer said, every prayer of mine, I make requests for you. That is why he had joy. His life was all about others. It was not about self. And that is the key to joy. It really is. I hope you believe that, or else you won't put it into practice. Verse number 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. All right, so what I want to do here is take a few minutes, and I want to go back and find out, what does he mean when he says from the first day until now? So to do that, we're going to go back to Acts chapter 16, where he first encountered these Philippians. Acts chapter 16, and start in verse number 1. Acts chapter 16, verse number 1. Okay, and we're just going to kind of browse through this chapter. It's kind of a little bit long, but we're going to get the picture here. And I just want you to see the first, that's the word Paul uses, at the first, the initial relationship between Paul and the Philippians. Okay, you ready? Verse number 1, Acts 16, 1. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed. But his father was a Greek. Okay, so that's Timothy. Verse number 3. Him would Paul have to go forth with him. Okay, so just want you to see Paul and Timothy go forth here. Verse number 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Okay, so they did. Off they went. Verse number 12. And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. All right, so here's a woman's prayer meeting by a river on the Sabbath day. Verse 14, and a certain woman named Lydia. Okay, so it just so happens that this man of Macedonia that he heard, it was a woman. It was Lydia. And it says of her that she's a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, that's not the Holy Spirit, that's the Spirit in this damsel. She's possessed by this Spirit. Turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Verse 19, and when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Okay, so what do we have so far? Their backs are beat, they're thrown into the jailhouse, their feet are put in stocks. Verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Where are they? They're in a jail in Philippi. And you know what they're doing? They're rejoicing. Do you know what it is filling their hearts? Joy. They're praising God. The Bible says in James 5:13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. And that's what they're doing. They just had their backs beaten. And they were just thrown in jail, but they're not mourning. They're not complaining. You know what they're doing? They're singing. They're singing. The Bible says that that is the evident testimony of a merry heart. What did they have for their aches, for their pains, for their agony after having their backs beaten? What did they have for their aching muscles that were locked fast in those stocks? Well, Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22 says, a merry heart doeth good, like a medicine. Like a medicine. They're taking a little hymn-singing medicine and praising the Lord. It can help. All right, so the Bible says in verse number 25, and the prisoners heard them. They're singing those psalms down there in the jail, and the prisoners heard them, verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Now wait, wait, the stocks are loosed, the bonds are broken, the doors are open, and nobody's leaving? Why not? Well, you read it in Acts 16. Those guys, they're down there in the jail thinking, whoever these two guys are, whoever they're serving, whatever they've got, we want to stick around and get in on that. We'd rather serve their God in these bonds than to be loosed from these bonds and not find out who they're singing about. All right, well, what did it say in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6? Being confident of this very thing, Paul said. Philippians 1, 14, he said, and many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds. Okay, so Acts 16, Paul's confidence in the Lord, apparently it was infectious. It spread. He imparted confidence in the Lord to others by the confidence that he had in the Lord. Acts chapter 16, verse 28 says, Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light. That means they were singing in the dark. It's so dark, the jailer can't make his way around the prison house. But they're praising God in all of this trouble. So the jailer comes, and the Bible says he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. Okay, so think about it. They humbled themselves, and now they're being exalted. They're running the jail right now. Right now, these two men in stocks, who were in stocks, they're in charge of the prison. Everybody there's waiting for Paul and Silas to tell them what to do. Look at verse 30. And brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Verse 40, and they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them. They comforted them and departed. Now, when Paul says in Philippians 1, from the first, you know what he's saying? He said, you men and women, particularly, you know the joy. You know that the joy of the Lord is greater than bonds. I proved that to you when you first met Jesus. You know the joy of the Lord is greater than darkness. I proved that to you when you first met Jesus. You know the joy of the Lord is greater than jail. It's greater than stripes. It's greater than beating. I proved that to you when I first brought you the gospel. You know that the joy of the Lord is greater than the loss of liberty. And you Philippians, you know it like nobody else because you saw this in the very days in which your faith was first established. We sang God's praises and the jailer came to us. What did he say? What must I do to be saved? Man, I tell you, thank the Lord for the Bible. Praise God. All right, look in Philippians chapter 1, verse 28. Philippians 1, 28. He says there, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. And they lived that at Philippi when they brought the gospel to that city. Okay? Terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition. Okay, what does that mean? It means the enemies thought Paul and Silas were the bad guys. Okay? But to you of salvation, okay, and that of God. Okay, so how would the Philippians know that God brings salvation to sinners through times of persecution? Well, that's because that's how they got started. That's how they came to know Jesus. Verse 29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me. Okay? So that's pretty good. See, the civil authorities at Philippi, they thought that Paul was the bad guy, and they locked him up. But God used that affliction to show the people at Philippi that he was the good guy. So, brother, sister, when hard times come, when troubles come, when affliction comes, have joy, rejoice, praise the Lord. That's infectious. It spreads. It's attractive. Somebody will come to Jesus, not because you're having a bad time. Everybody has a bad time, but because you have joy and rejoicing in the bad time. And you know that the Philippians knew this because that's how they came to God. That's what he could tell them. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Well, let me just show you one more thing real quick here before we finish up tonight. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. The Bible says there, Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. So think about that. Do you know who's there at the founding of the church of Philippi? You got Timothy, half Jew, half Greek. Do you know who's there at the founding of the church at Philippi? Lydia, female. The Philippian jailer, male. You know who's there at the founding of the church at Philippi? Prisoners, Jews, Paul and Silas, freemen, the Philippian jailer and his family. And yet, in that night, they had become one in Christ Jesus. Fellowship, consolation in the Spirit, in Christ. Who could have put that group of people together and have them fall in love with each other? None but the Holy Spirit of God. No other cause, no other power, no other force, nothing else on the face of the earth but the Lord Jesus Christ could take that diverse group of people and make them one. And that, brothers and sisters, is what it's all about. That is real life-changing Christianity delivered to you by God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, by grace through faith. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for showing us the start of this Philippian church. And we pray, Lord, that you'll help us to recognize what a wonderful group of brothers and sisters in Christ we have, to examine ourselves to see how we've been treating people. And if we've been praying for our brothers and sisters enough and properly, praying for them and not about them, Father, I pray that you'll help us to be more prayerful on the brothers and sisters' behalf, that we might see the blessings that you have for them and see the results that might take place as our brothers and sisters step out and start doing some things for you. And that's what it's all about, Lord. The furtherance of the gospel as we support one another, love one another, and pray for one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.